But first, the board heard detailed reports on 18 Save Venice projects, including the restoration of a painting by Carpaccio and work in progress on the facade of the Scuola Grande di San Marco. The board then agreed to buy a 35-foot cherry picker for use in restoration projects, heard a proposal to fund a fellowship for a young conservator to work with leading restorers in Venice, and voted to share the cost of a microfilm reader/printer for the Venice State Archives. Then, Count Monticello took the floor. He handed out copies of an English translation of his prepared remarks, which he was going to read in Italian. "My English is not so good," he told me afterward, "and I was steamed up, so I would not have spoken very clearly." He adjusted his reading glasses and then began. "I have come here today to discuss a situation of grave concern to Venice and to you. In recent months, an unpleasant internal conflict within Save Venice has spoiled the delicate relationship between Save Venice and Venice itself, and it has to stop. The damage to the reputation and image of Save Venice is far worse than it may appear to you from New York." Count Monticello described as a piece of arrogance Bob Guthrie's threat that the board of Save Venice would refuse the Torta Prize. "And as I am a member of the board of Save Venice, I know Bob Guthrie was speaking without board authorization." As for the firing of his wife, Lessa, Count Monticello acknowledged the right of management to dismiss an employee, but he objected to the manner in which it was done. "You may not be aware," he said, "that in Venice, the termination of a work relationship that has lasted for 6 years with no notice invariably implies dishonesty by the person involved. This is what has been done to Lessa, and this is what I resent." "To be Venetian," Monticello went on, "and to know how to live in Venice is an art. It is our way of living, so different from the rest of the world. Venice is built not only of stone, but of a very thin web of words, spoken and remembered, of stories and legends, of eyewitness accounts and hearsay. To work and operate in Venice means, first of all, to understand its differences and its fragile equilibrium. In Venice, we move delicately and in silence and with great subtlety. We are a very Byzantine people, and that is certainly not easy to understand." Monticello cast a glance at his audience. Except for the two or three who were able to follow his Italian, they were reading along, and the mood was uniformly solemn. The board members of Save Venice, who thought of themselves as benefactors of Venice, knowledgeable and sophisticated in the ways of their adopted city, were receiving a dressing down as if they were no better than an unruly mob of litterbug tourists. "I must tell you how the recent turmoil in Save Venice has been perceived in Venice. It is seen as evidence that a few members of the board do not consider Save Venice an association of friends who do good work for Venice, but rather as a means to gain personal prestige and power. We Venetians regard our city with the same ancient civic sense with which we have built, governed, and loved it for centuries, and it is very painful to see it being used in this manner. As much as we are truly grateful for Save Venice's remarkable generosity in the past, we Venetians are loath to accept help from those who have so little respect for us." Almost as an afterthought, Monticello concluded his remarks with the comment, "What course of action the board should now take is for you to decide, but I certainly feel that Dr. Guthrie should be stripped of all powers." Upon his return to Venice, Monticello showed me his speech. It was a long speech, rambling at times, but unrelenting in its expression of restrained outrage. "And how did they react?" I asked. "Some shook their heads and said, 'Finally,' but others were angry. One man said to me in Italian, 'You have some nerve coming here and talking like that.' And I said, 'You know, when it's necessary to say such things, it's necessary also to have some nerve.' I handed the speech back to him. 'Strong stuff,' I said. 'But you once told me that Venetians always mean the opposite of what they say.' Count Monticello smiled. 'True. And when I told you that, I meant the opposite of what I said.'